Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom, and we are now about to begin our final podcast in Masechet Bava Metzia, the third Mishnah of the 10th Perek, which is on Daf Kuf Yod Zayin Amud Bet, continuing with the theme of two-story structures where there is a structural problem, where part of it became diminished or fell down, and how to deal with it. So similarly to two residences, what if you have an olive press, which is built into the cleft of a stone, there's a garden owned by somebody else that's on top of it, and the top roof of the olive press gets diminished. The garden, the gefil of the garden, can go down and plant below. Until the olive press fellow builds a proper roof above. Let's say somebody has a tree or wall, and they fell into Rishut Rabim and they did damage on the way. Patur min l'shalem. You're exempt. This is not a tree that you got any public notice of removal or a warning about, so you're patur. But let's say the Beit Din gave you time, and we'll see that time is typically 30 days to take it down. But tochazman patur, if they fell during the time, you're patur. Lacharazman chayav, but if they fell after the 30 days, you're chayav, you were warned. Chayav for damages. Now, misha akot lo samuch liginat chavero v'nafal. Let's say you have a wall that abuts a neighbor's property where he has a garden. And the wall fell into the garden. Vamarlo pnei avanecha. And the fellow with the garden said, move your stones out. Vamarlo. And the fellow said, higiucha. You can keep the stones. Instead of me spending money on moving the stones out, you can keep the stones. Ein shominlo. He can't force that on the garden fellow. He has to remove his own stones. Mishiki ba'alav. But if the fellow owns the garden, accepted it. Amarlo heilachet yitziotecha. And then the fellow at the wall said, you know what? I'll pay you for what you spent to get the stones removed. Vanei told Shalina, and I'll take them back. And Shalmino, then we don't listen to him. And again, you cannot unilaterally dictate or change the terms. And we see a similar case here. Asocher tapoel asot imo betevenu v'kash. If a guy hires somebody to take care of straw and hay and clean it out, v'marlo ten lischar. At the end of the day, the guy says, "Pay me." V'marlo tomash asita bischarcha. And he says, "You know what? All the straw you collected, keep that as your payment." Ain't shominlo. The employer can't do that, and we don't let him do it. But if the employee, the harvester, accepted that, and then the employer said, you know what, I'll pay you money, give me back the straw, and shomino, again, he can't do it. So we have to figure out, we need both these cases. Now, the first question, though, is about the diminishing of the roof of the olive press. This sounds very familiar. Rav said, you need to have a situation where where a majority of the roof was diminished. And Shmuel says, no, as long as there's arba amot that were diminished, not like the arba tzfachim in the house. Rav amar b'ruba, aval b'arba adam zorech etzio l'matav zech etzio l'malo. Again, like we had before about a person being willing to live on two levels, here a person's willing to plant a little bit above and a little bit below, as long as the majority of the roof is still there. Shmuel amar b'arba, he says, no, even a small amount. Why? And adam zorech etzio l'matav zech etzio l'malo. Good, so now it's Tzricha. Why do we need this machlok at Rav and Shmuel in the case of the duplex residence, in the case of the olive press in the garden? Diashmin and Dira, if we had just the duplex residence, Pahakam or Shmuel, Mishum Delavidin, Shidadari, Purtahacha, Purtahacha. People don't like to live on multiple levels. So we understand Shmuel's position that even a small opening is enough to make the lower fellow have to rebuild it. When it comes to planting, people do plant a little bit here, a little bit there. Think about a terrace. Think about the very fact that you plant, not where you live. Maybe he'll agree with Rav that even a bigger opening is okay. And now just flip it. So just flip it and say, perhaps Rav would agree with Shmuel in the case of a residence, therefore we need the machlok in both places. Not nulozman, we had the case of the tree that fell. If they gave him time, kamazman beitin, amar biyochon shloshimim. Again, 30 days of mourning is typical. Mishaya kotlo, so the case with the fellow had the wall abutting the other fellow's garden. Haminiktani seifa helich yotziotecha, from the fact that in the seifa, the seifa of that first case with the wall and the garden, the wall owner said to the garden owner, I'll pay you for your expenses. Michlal de panino askinan. Clearly we're talking about a case where the fellow with the garden already paid to have the stones removed. So tama de paninu. So it's only because he's already had them removed. Halo paninu lo. So it sounds like if he hadn't got them removed. So the owner of the wall first said to him, keep the stones. The garden fellow said, okay. Then the owner of the wall said, you know what? I'll take the stones. I'll pay you. He's evidently allowed to do that. Amai, v'tikli sadeh. Why isn't the fellow's gina kone as a kinyan chotzer, kone of the stones, and therefore the wall owner doesn't have such a right? We've seen this many times, that your chatzer is kone even if you're not present. So certainly the guy's there and he wants the stones. Why can't he keep them? That's only if you have dat makna, meaning the guy who put the thing in your chatzer wants you to get it. Here, the guy with the wall isn't so sure he wants to give it to him. He wants to see what the guy's going to do. If the guy's going to take the stones, if he realizes the stones are valuable, if the guy refuses. So he's not maknet. So therefore, this chatzer is not kone. Okay, so chela sotimam b'tevin, etc. Now, why do we need both cases of the wall falling and not being able to dictate terms against the garden fellow, and the guy hiring the fellow to work in the straw, and he can't dictate or change the terms on him either? If we only had the first case of the wall, when the wall guy says, keep the stones, we don't let him dictate that. Maybe that's only because he doesn't owe the fellow with the garden anything. But here he owes the fellow a salary. Maybe we allow him to say, I'll pay you with this, or I'll pay you with that. When somebody owes you money, you take it however you can collect it. And if we only had the case of the salary of the work in the field, maybe it's only here that once the fellow says, I'll take the straw, we don't allow the other guy to say, I'll pay you money. That's because I owe you a salary and you get to pick how to take it, especially once I offered it. But in the case of the wall with the garden, where I don't owe you anything beforehand, maybe I can then change my mind and say, I'll take the stones. And I'll pay you for the money you spent to get them removed. So tsuricha, therefore, we need both cases. Now, ein shomin lo, v'atayin shomin lo. We have a brayta that says that the guy can change it, and we do allow him to make that change. So Rav Nachman tries to reconcile these two brayot, and each time Rava challenges him. I'm Rav Nachman Lokasha Kan Mishalo Kan Mishal Chavero. He says, when I've hired you to work in my field, I can't change the terms. When I've hired you to work in somebody else's field, I can. I'm the Rav Lev Nachman, so his student said to him, Bishalo my kaima, why can't you change it when it's in your own field? Damarle Agra Alach. You owe me the money. But if I hire you to work in somebody else's field, I still have to pay you. So either way, I have to pay you. So I can't change it. The Tanya, Socher Tapol, Asot B'Shalo, we've seen this many times. If you hire somebody to work in your own field, that's what you tell him. But you point them to another person's field or house or whatever. You have to pay him full. You can't tell him, you know what, it's somebody else's, go to him. You have to pay him full. And then you go to the Balabayit who didn't know about this and say, you know what, you got X amount of benefit from this, pay me. You can't come back to him for the wages, just for the benefit. So the split, Shalom Shal Chaver, won't work. El Amar of Nachman, split number two. Lokasha Kan Mishalom Kan Mishal Hefker. If you hired him to work in your own field, you can't change it. If you hired him to work in Hefker, then you can change it. So, Eitav Rav Lo Nachman, Rav challenge Rav Nachman again. Mitziat Po'el La'atzmo. By the way, every time Rav Nachman tries to show a distinction, Rav is going to show that there is no distinction, and here he's going to show that Shalom and Shal Hefker aren't different. Why? Mitziat Po'el La'atzmo. If Poel is working and he finds something in the middle of his work, he keeps it. It's only if the Balabayit said, come weed with me or prune with me or rake with me, whatever it is, specific malacha, anything else that happens is on his own clock. But if the Balabayit said, come and do work with me today, then whatever he finds belongs to the Balabayit because he's now on the Balabayit's clock all the time. So that means that when I hire you to work in Hefker, that's already mine, which means it's no different than Shalom. Again, Rava closes the gap and there's no distinction. And this may work. Rav Nachman says, if I've hired you to work in my field and pick stuff up like the straw, then I can't change it because you were already cone of the straw. And then when I tell you, forget it, I'll pay you money, I can't change it. But behabata, if I hire you to watch something, and the entire kinyan that may be here, or is may not be here, is simply that you were watching it, then I could change the terms. So now, Amar Rabba, Habata behefker tanoihi. The question about whether or not you can be kona hefker. You certainly can't be kona somebody else's stuff. But whether you can be kona hefker just by looking at it, intending to be kona, of course, is a machloket tanaim. Ditnan, we have this Mishnah that says, Shomrei svichei shviid no lin scharan mitrumat alishka. The Beit Din would assign people to watch bushes during Shemitah to make sure people would not take advantage of them. And they were paid from Trumat HaLishka. Rabbi Yossi means these were people who were doing Habata and were paying them. Rabbi Yossi Omer HaRotzemin Adevu said, no, if somebody wants to do it, he can do it on his own as a volunteer. V'shom Rechinam. In other words, we don't pay them. Amrulo Ata Omer Kane, or in another version, Mata Omer, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yossi, you think so? Ain ba'in mishal tzibur, then what's going to come won't come mishal tzibur. It's a very weird, opaque statement, so let's try to clarify it. My la b'hakami palgi, isn't this the machloket to Tanakama savar habata b'hefker kani? The Tanakama believes that when you're watching something that's hefker, you're koned, if you want to. V'yahiva le'agra, so if we pay him in, then he's our shaliach, he's being koned for the beit din, for the public. V'lo lo, but if not, then he's being koned for himself. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Habata behefker lo kani. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that Habata is not a kinyan. When the tzibur goes, and let's say goes and gets the omer, of that year, they're konet now, and it's not his, and therefore there's no problem. What was it that they said back to him? Meaning, based on your approach, your halacha, based on our concept, ain omer shtei alechem by mishal tzibur. Because according to you, we don't pay the guy. And according to us, that means, since we hold Habata v'hefker kani in this take, therefore he's konet. And therefore, when we bring the Omer and Shtei Alechem, it's going to come, not Mishal Tzibur. That's Rabba's take on that Mishnah, and says, therefore, it's a machloket about Habata v'hefker. Rava disagrees, and says that everyone agrees about Habata v'hefker. What is it they agree to? Well, let's see. Amar Rava, version 1. Lo, d'choli am Habata v'hefker kani. Everybody agrees Habata v'hefker is konet. The machlok it is whether or not the guy who is konet b'habata will hand it over with a complete heart and full intention, and therefore it will be shel tzibur. We have to pay him as a precaution against him handing it over grudgingly and not really making a kinyan. Says, we don't have to worry about that. The guy is happy, he's giving his thing for the korban, it's beautiful, he's going to give it over nicely. So Umata Omer, what was their response? Based on your halacha and our concept, the same problem. Now, Ikadami, there's another version of Rava that's the opposite. Rava Mardukuli Amahabata Befker Lo Kani. It's not Kona. There is no concern that this stuff is not going to belong to the Tzibur. It will. Because he doesn't make a kinyan on it, whether we pay him or not. The concern is our strong arm guy is going to come and take the barley that we've targeted for the Omer before we get a chance to harvest it. Tanakama Savar, Kinner Rabbanon, the mate of Le Arba Zuzi, they made a takana to pay this guy, so that the strong arm guys will know, ooh, this belongs to Mikdash, this guy's getting paid, and they'll back off. Rabbi Yossi says they didn't make such a takana. So, Ma'ata Omer, what's the Ma'ata Omer? Then, Hachikam Rilem, Yidvarech Lidvareinu, based on your halacha and our concept, Ein Ba'im Mishal Tzibur, because the concern is that these guys are going to take it. V'chen Ki'atu Ravinam Rabbi Yochanan, Chashin L'Bal Ezroti Kaminayu. Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael said, you know what the machloket of Yosef Chachamim is, in that Mishnah, is whether or not we're choshesh for these strong-arm guys. Okay, the next Mishnah. Hamotzi Zevel Rishut Rabim. If somebody takes manure, fertilizer, out to Rishut Rabim, Hamotzi Motzi Vamizabel Mizabel. You have to take it out right away and immediately take it to the where the Zevel dump. You can't leave it there. Ein Shorin Tit Rishut Rabim. You're not allowed to let mortar kind of sit and soak in Rishut Rabim. It's foul. Ve'ein Lovnim Lovinim. You're not allowed to make fire bricks. Aval Govlim Tit Rishut Rabim. You're allowed to mix the cement in Rishut Rabim. Aval Olovinim, but not the bricks. Haboneb Rishut Rabim. Let's say you're building. Hamevi avanim mevi, the guy who brings the materials brings them, vaboneb boneb, the guy has to build them right away. Mizik mishalim mashi yizik. And if there's any damage caused, you have to pay for that damage. Rishim Gamliel Omer, af metaken hu et melachto lifnei 30 yom. He disagrees and says, you know what? You have up to 30 days to prepare the materials out there, and before you start working, and you are not liable for what happens, as we will see. Now, lema matnit nidlok Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'sha'ato tza'at zvalim adam motzi zivlo l'rshuto abim. We have this in Baba Kama. When it's time, when it's the season of taking out the zevel, you can put your zevel out in Rishut Rabim. It's a real kosh l'shmim. You're allowed to leave it there for 30 days. K'dei she'in yishof for aglei adam aglei rei b'ma. So it gets matted down by people and animals walking on it. Shamanat Kain Nechil Yoshua, the Israel Tarts. It's one of the ten takanot of Yoshua. That Yoshua gave Am Yisrael the land on condition that they allow each other these things. So the answer is no. I feel the time Rabbi Yehuda. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda really agrees with our Mishnah. Mod Rabbi Yehuda, Shem Yizik, Chayav L'Shalem. Maybe, in other words, maybe Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to leave it out there, but you're Chayav for Nezek. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking about the Chiyuv of Nezek. And the statement in Bava Kama is talking about the fact that you're allowed to leave it there. If you remember in the sixth parak of Baba Kama, the case with the camel laden with flax that catches on a candle that the storekeeper put outside his store and burns down the shuk, the storekeeper is liable. Rabbi Yehuda said if it's an Ner Chanukah, he's exempt because he put it up Birshut. So that means that here, Rabbi Yehuda would say if you're allowed to put the zevel out into the street, then that means you can't be chayav for it. My love, Rishut Beit Din, isn't the Rishut there in Ner Chanukah, meaning the Rishut Beit Din, the legal system says you're allowed to do it. La Rishut the Mitzvah. It's a separate thing. You're doing a mitzvah, but here there's no mitzvah of putting your zevel out. However, Braita that says, any time that it says you're allowed to put things outside in Rishut Rabim, nonetheless, if there's damage done, you're chayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're potter. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, any time that you're allowed to put something in Shudra Abim, that allowance means if something happens, you're potter. We have to agree that our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Yehuda, who says you could leave your Zevel out for a while in order to get it matted down. Now, Amar Abaye does an Abaye again, where he ties the opinions of several disparate statements of Tanoim in different places and ties them together with one concept. Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon, Kulu Sferlu, Kol Makom Shtem L'Chachom Rishut L'Vizik Patur. They all agree with this principle that any time that you're allowed to do something, if there's damage, you're potter. Rabbi Yehuda Hadamran, Rabbi Yehuda is our Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel Danan, also in our Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel, Avetakein Huat Malachtor Lifnei Shloshim Yom. You're allowed to set up for work 30 days in advance, and therefore you're not chayiv if damages happen. Rabbi Shimon Danan, Hayam Amido Ba'aliyah, Tzorich Shiyeh Tachtav Maziva Shloshat Fachim. This is in the second parak of Abatra. If you set up a tanur on the second story, you have to have three tfachim of roof underneath it. That's if you set up a tanur. Uvekira, if it's just a stovetop, then tefach. V'mizik, v'shalem ashizik. But if the damage, you still have to pay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, l'amru kol shem halalu, el shemizik patur min l'shalem. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the shiurim are to tell you that if you abide by the shiurim, you're potter. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you're allowed to do something, you're allowed to set something up somewhere, either a neighboring area or Shutar Abim, if damage happens, you are patur. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, hachatzav shemasar l'satat. This is something of a chad gadya. If the guy quarries the rocks and gives them to the mason, hasatat chayev. Any damage that happens afterwards, the mason's chayev. Hasatat shemasar l'chamar, the mason shapes the rock and gives it to the donkey driver who's going to deliver it. Hachamar chayev. Damages happen there, he's chayev. Chamar shemasar l'kataf, he then gives it to a porter. A kataf chayev. A kataf shemasar l'banai, he gives it to the builder. A banai chayev. Habanai shemasar l'adrichal, he then hands it to the architect, the guy who's overseeing the actual work. Adrichal chayev. But if afterwards the adrichal put this rock up on one of the layers of the building and then walked away and then it damaged, kulan chayavin l'shalem, then they all have to pay because they all equally participated in this, and you can't ascribe it to the last guy because he had already left it there and walked away. I have a tanya achron chayav chulam turin. We have a brayta that says only the last guy is chayav. So, if we hired each guy to do a separate job, your job is to quarry, and your job is to shape the rock, and your job is to deliver it, etc., then the last guy's chayiv. But if it's kablanut, which means we hired them as a group, your job is to build this house, and each guy plays his own role, then they're all chayiv in damages that happen if it's not during a specific segment that belongs to that guy. Okay, the last mishnah. Shtei ginot, zu al gav zu. We're talking about a terrace here, which is a very Eretz Yisraelic style of planting. We have level one on top. Then you have the slope going down, which is perhaps a straight slope down. And then the level two underneath. So v'hayerek b'ntayim, and growing out of the slope, there are some vegetables. Rameir Amer Shalion, he says it belongs to the upper guy. Rabbi Yehuda's Amer Shal Tachton belongs to the lower guy. So the arguments are Rameir im yirtzeh ha'elyon l'kachat ha'faro. If the upper guy wants to take all his dirt out, which is allowed to do, in kanyerek, all the vegetables come out. He says the lower guy, if he wants to fill in his gina in kan yerek, he can't get to the yerek, it's buried. And it's each guy has control. So Rameir seems to back off a little bit and says, since each one could really prevent the other one from getting to it, so then look at where it's growing from. And Rameir really isn't backing off, because where is it growing from? It's growing from the dirt underneath the top guy's thing. Rabbi Shimon, he says, "Kol shal yon echol ifshot yadov litol." Anything that the upper guy could reach down, and we'll see, reach down easily and grab, harehu shalo, it's his. Hashar shal tachton, everything else belongs to the lower guy. All right, Amar Rava, biikaro kuli amalo pligi del yon have. Everybody agrees that the root of this thing belongs to the upper guy. Ki pligi benufo, they're disagreeing only about the branch or whatever comes out. It's a machlok we've seen in many contexts, that the branch follows the trunk, and therefore Rameir says, since the trunk or the root of this thing is in the land belonging to the upper guy, everything belongs to him. He says each thing is separate. And we have a braita that has the same notion in the context of commerce. If you have a tree and it's in somebody else's land, and something somebody grows out of the roots or the trunk, remember, Rameir says it belongs to the guy who owns the land, because if it grows out of a branch, it belongs to the guy who owns the tree. If it grows out of the roots, then it really does belong to the guy who owns the land. We have the same discussion in the context of Orla. Let's say that you have a little tree growing out of the branch or out of the roots. The Rameir says it's a new tree. This is considered to be coming out of the ground. It's a new tree. And therefore, the Orla clock starts here at zero. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nageza Patur, if it grows out of a branch, it's Patur. It's considered to be part of the tree, and it takes on the age of the tree. Min HaShorashin Chayav, if it comes out of the branch, then I agree. Utsrichi, why do we need these three cases? The Yashmin Kamaita, if we add on the first case, Bahakam Rabbi Yehuda Mishum de Mamona. I would say, sure, Rabbi Yehuda says that the nof doesn't follow the ikar, because that's a financial issue. Gabe Orla, but in the third case of Orla, the tisura imamodi the Rav Meir. Then I would say, he agrees with the mayor, we should be machmer and call it Orla. V'inmar baha, and flip it, baha kamar mayor, abahi imamodi the Rav Yehuda tzrichi. Alright, so just flip it. We saw, by the way, our case and the case of the Ilan and the growing out of the Geza is sort of being the same thing. So it's really on two cases they were comparing and justifying. Alright, the end of the Mishnah was Rav Shimon said that whenever the upper guy could lean down and get is his. Amr de Rabbi Yanai, Uvan Shalo Yanai, so as long as it's not too difficult, it's not stretched too much to get it. Bar Rav Anan, Vitema Rabbi Yirmiya. So they asked the question, Magia l'nufo v'in magia l'ikaro. Magia l'ikaro v'in magia l'nufo mai. What if you could only reach the root but not the branch, or the branch not the root? What's the deal? Teiku. Okay, now that's in Eretz Yisrael. Amar Ephraim Safra Talmido Shal Resh Lakish Mishum Resh Lakish. He quoted Resh Lakish as saying, Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon. We follow Rabbi Shimon, that's the halacha. Amrua Kameh de Shavur Malka. In Persia, they told Shavur Malka. Now, most of the Rishonim agree that it really is Shavur Malka, who was the king in the middle of the 3rd century in Persia, who had a very favorable attitude towards the Jews and was very interested in law, and we have several other cases. There are some Rishonim who suggest that this is, as we see elsewhere, a nickname either for Shmuel or for Rabba, but most Rishonim read, and Rashi goes at length to say that this really is Shavur Malka. And they said the halachas like Rabbi Shimon Amar Lehu Apiyon Nimted Rabbi Shimon. Grace be on Rabbi Shimon. He really liked that ruling. Okay, we have Baruch Hashem completed our study of Masechet Bava Metzia. We're 2/3 of the way through Masechet Nezikin. And Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast, we will pick up with the beginning of the third and final gate of Nezikin, Masechet Bava Batra. In the meantime, Yishar Koach to all the Lomdim. Hope everyone has a very enjoyable Siyum and celebration. And we will see you when we begin with Masechet Bava Batra, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Daf Bet. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.